gospel. It means good news. It is the story of our salvation. It is the medication for the sickness of sin that is inherited in all of us. It is the righteous remedy for the imperfections of man. And it is free for all who hear and believe. But for those who never hear, it is a story never told. It is a dream never realized. There are people who live their lives ignorant to God's truth because the church has given it to apathy and the comfort of the environment. Unless we break out of the four walls of our comfortable faiths, the world will never hear, for the word says, how then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard of? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? The modern church is filled with empty promises to tell the good news, and because of it, the world is filled with the heart and sting of death. For surely the mute mouths of the church will be the destruction of man. How many encounters do we have daily with those who are hurting, the ones who are searching, and the ones who are lost? The kingdom doesn't advance on the silent lips of God's people, but rather through the mouths of those willing to have a voice, those willing to speak, those willing to tell it. Tell it. Tell it, I say. Tell the good news to those in need, to those who hurt, to those who have not heard, and to those who have heard but refuse to believe. Tell it at work, at the store, in the city, in the country, and onwards to the world. Never settle. Let your voice be heard as you carry out the commission of Christ. Tell the good news that Christ has died, but he is risen, and he will come again. Go and tell.
You know, welcome to 2013, and I hope you heard that message. I want to thank, that whole video illustrates where God's trying to take us. I want to thank Chris Young. Chris, if you'll lean over where they can see you. He looks like a young member of Duck Dynasty, but he's a part of our staff. And Chris put that whole video together. And I wanted to start with that today because Chris, when he came to Western, God led him into filmmaking. That's why it looks so good. That's what his heart and his passion. And so guess what? He took what God has given him and he told us today. Does that make sense? He took the ability, the skill that he had with video and design and coordinating all that together so that we might hear a message that would penetrate our hearts to go and tell. Today, I may disturb some of you severely. And one of the things that he said, Chris wrote that whole script. So I heard his heart of what God was putting on the next generation. You know, I hear a lot of complaints, and I wish I could tell you that I wasn't a part of some of them. You know, when I look at the world, but when I really look at it, I have to ask myself a question. Very introspective type question. I noticed we got a lot of people analyzing today. You know, we got a lot. Bob's always commentators. In fact, most of my colleagues are commentators. They can look at the problem And they can state the problem, but nobody wants to be the solution to the problem. Especially when I am involved now, I don't know what happened. You know, used to I didn't have this problem, but now I train young pastors for some reason. I don't know what's happening in my life. And they all can tell me what's wrong with the church. They all got everything that's wrong, they got that down. But I ask them a severe question, and this is where they lock up. What are you going to do to change it? You see, it's easy to state what is wrong. It takes a cross to make it right. And most of us don't want to go where? We don't want to go to the cross. This morning, Clacy woke us up early as she was finishing her day in Africa. She broke my heart when I heard. She said, Dad, I have been in the most incredible experience in my life. I've been worshiping in an African church. And she said, they worship for a long time. Like worship like you've never seen. And then she said what humbled me beyond my belief. She said, these are folks that wonder if they're going to have a meal that day. Okay? Now watch this. None of us can relate to that. I don't know about you, but I'm wondering how to get it off, not put it on right now. My problem's the reverse. I stepped out on the scales out of Christmas and went, ho, ho, ho. But this is a group of people that may have a meal a day, okay? This is real poverty. This is not what we trump up and you hear as poverty in the United States. These are people that don't have a refrigerator. They don't have a high-definition TV. They're not trying. Poverty in their understanding is not that I get to live like a middle-class American. It's can I eat today? Do y'all see the difference in those two magnitudes? Even where we see awful situations in the United States, it's a whole different gig in other countries. Can I eat? Dr. Blevins, you know what that church did today? They took up an offering for the American kids that serve them. And they tried to refuse it. They said, no, we cannot take this. And they said, no, you need to understand. This is a part of our faith. You have blessed us all week, and now we bless you so you can bless others. It has always amazed me. Those who have little of this world really understand the kingdom of God. And those who have much of this world have rhetoric and bumper stickers and slogans and books in doctrinal statements, but the heart of loving God seems to be missing so often. Hillview, I challenge us as we enter into our third decade of ministry together. Okay? Things kind of change up here. We're 22 years old. If you will, as a church, we're in our last semester of college. We're in our last year. So I want to challenge us. What are we going to do when we graduate? What are we going to do? As God has prepared us for these 22 years, guess what? He's prepared us for that vision that says, you know what? Go tell my world. Whose world? His world. For those of you that grew up in the church, you all remember that little song we used to sing? This is my Father's world. This is my Father's world. We tend to forget that. We tend to forget that God created the world. We tend to forget that for God so loved the world. We tend to forget that it is the Lord. That is the Lord. And because of that, all things are possible. What do you think? Well, you're going to hear this theme. And I just wanted to remind us at the first Sunday, nothing's changed in our vision. Okay? Nothing's changed in our vision. Except this. We need a whole lot more people involved in it. Okay, so we got some decisions to make. Some of you are wondering, man, I wonder what Jesus Christ could do in my life. Your decision is going to be repent of your sins. Okay, now that's required for salvation. How many of y'all understand? I want to be very clear of that. That's required for salvation. Am I correct there, great Rabbi Britt? There is no faith without repentance. And Jim, with all due respect, I think for a while we clergymen have kind of slid off to an acceptance of Jesus' existence and not a repentance unto his message. And maybe that's why we have such a weak church in America today. I love the word, the modern church. The modern church. The modern church says, come and listen. Jesus' church says, go and tell. I'm very worried about some of the movements I see. I see a lot more people attracted to huddling up all by themselves and discussing what God might do. But yet when I read the biblical text, God huddles for a short period of time, 3 years or so, and then sends these discipled individuals out into the world to tell of his good news. Is that not the New Testament we read? If I was the devil, you know what I would do? I would tell people to study on God, but never follow him. I would tell them to know of his morals, but never practice them. I would tell them to have a concept of love, but never really love. If I was the devil, that's what I'd tempt the church to do. How do you think he's doing? And we got to be careful here at Hillview because guess what? Warning, warning. We haven't mastered it. You never master God. How many of y'all that far along? Okay, we got to be that far along in our faith. Because you know what? I'm going to tell you, you better know who to listen to. If you're listening to some brother or sister and they got it all figured out, run. Because if you think a human being can figure all of God out from beginning to end in a matter of 50 years, you're crazy. And if you think they can figure it out by the time they've lived 21 years, you're just stupid. Nobody's going to figure God out. That's why God calls us lovingly and compassionately to do what? Follow him. And the discoveries along the way. The truth is revealed as we follow. So I want to take you to a couple places in Matthew, remind you of the vision of this church. Number one vision of this church, Jesus Christ is willing to save people. How many of y'all got that? You hear this here at Hillview every Sunday, and as long as I'm the pastor here at Hillview, you'll hear it every Sunday. If you think it is immature and shallow, I pray for your salvation. I pray that you would understand the New Testament. I pray that you would really get faith. The cross and the resurrection is not the starting part of the point of the faith. It is the centerpiece of all that God has done. It is on that cross that he is lifted up and glorified. It's not in any other element. The apex. You know what I mean by apex? The crescendo. If you're a musician, the absolute authority is found in that historical moment when Jesus stretches out his arms and says, Father, I commit my spirit unto you. Now, in the same way, every time we come and every human being that kneels at an altar or kneels in a living room or at a bus station or on a plane or wherever it might happen and says, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I submit my sinful spirit unto you. They receive a new life. So what are we talking about? A new life. How many of y'all glad to know that inside the house of the Lord, there's a new life. There is a new way. There's a new truth. There's a new life. There's a new existence. And guess what? Here's one of the things I said we got to be careful of. As Christians, we tend to get caught up on the accessories. How many of y'all notice that? We're accessory people. We're Americans. What's the first thing if you get to go look at a car? What's the first thing you start looking at? I guarantee you in America, you don't go, what kind of transmission it's got in it, unless you're a gearhead. What kind of engine it's got in it? How many miles is it good for? That's not what we look at. But, ooh, Bose, ultrasound stereo system. Oh, now it can digitally interact with all my electronic devices. Oh, wow, my vehicle now talks to me. We get more caught up in what? The accessories of life than we do the substantive moments in life. And so guess what? If you're not anchored, you can't navigate. You got to be anchored in the cross and resurrection. So, church, every year, 1st of January, we got to remind ourselves what propels us. And then we got to be reminded of this. It's not us. It's not us. Now, that's harder to do today than it was when we first started Hillview, because when we first started Hillview, we didn't have anything. In fact, Donna, we were less than anything, weren't we? And you know what? And we were in a better spiritual position then because we knew we had to depend on Jesus. And if we don't watch it, we'll say, well, you know, we do this and this and that makes it happen. No, it doesn't. Jesus makes it happen. Everything else is just an accessory. Everything else you see today will be gone sometime out there in the future, true or false, including me and you. But what will stand? Christ. When you come to that reality, you'll start living. When you come to that reality, you'll start living. First point in Hillview, connect people to Jesus Christ. That is our vision. That is our motivation. That is why we teach Bible study, not so we can run around and act like little smarty pants Bible people. You say, well, I know the ecclesiology of such and such. I could care less. Some of y'all are so proud that you found a few theologies and you think they're absolutely dominant. Well, here's how weak it shows. Christ is dominant. And what did he show us when he came? Look at Jesus. What did he show us when he came? His love and how to live. Obviously, he was more intellectual than anybody else, because when he met with the great intellectuals of his moment of history and he went into the temple, and with all their intellect, what did Jesus do with them? He said they were baffled. The word that translates into English is they were mesmerized. Kentucky, he throttled them. He let them know they're not God. He let them know that they're not going to get God through the study of their mind. They got to receive God through the repentance of their heart. Those are two different elements. That you come to a point and say, you know what, God, I can't live without you. Lord, I'm not going to get rid of my sin until I surrender to Jesus Christ. Is that not the message? The message connects people to heaven. Makes sense? Jesus connects people to who? Heaven. Nothing's changed, Hillview, other than this. Dream with me for just a moment. Can you imagine if every person who participates, worships, and follows Jesus at Hillview shares the message of Jesus Christ enough times so that at least one person might receive him as their Lord and Savior? What happens to Bowling Green, Kentucky in a 12-month period? I'm going to disagree with the world a little bit. Let's change the world by voting. Doesn't look like it's changing much. We've been voting for 100 years. We've been voting longer than that. Give us Barabbas. How about change the world by telling the world about Jesus? Where's that one? See, you change the world by allowing Jesus to change the folk. And I think we've really slipped off in some major ways sometimes. We want to chase the organization instead of what if each individual just did their responsible mission. Eventually, all those missions collide and you have a new world buzzing. But you have to really live out your faith. It's not like you just go hand out a Jesus tract. It's that you really care that people would be connected to Jesus. How many of y'all care that somebody else would be connected to Jesus? These would be good people like your mother, your father, your brother, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles. I'm glad you're concerned about some country far away that you know very little about, but are you concerned about your next door neighbor? That's a lot harder mission because they watch you start your lawnmower in the spring. You know, Sarge, it's real easy to go for a week where nobody knows you and act holy. What's hard is to be holy in the neighborhood where they hear you. Or Jones, to be holy in the city where they've seen you at the ball game. Hello? Me too. That's real. That we might live out our faith in such a way that people are connected to Jesus. Do y'all understand that? There's three connection points to this church. Cross and resurrection. Cross and resurrection. Cross and resurrection. And that takes us to Matthew. What's the point of it all? What's the point of it all? Well, go with me to Matthew, and I want you to hear the greatest commandment. These are two things that drive our church, okay? Matthew. Jesus replied, the Pharisees have messed with them, okay? Jesus has mesmerized the Sadducees. He's put them to silence, and now the Pharisees are going to take their shot. So they asked Jesus this question. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. Now, isn't this interesting? Jesus is on the scene, and who's gotten together? Note this for a minute. Who's gotten together? I know some of y'all think I got an axe to grind against religious people. I'm going to show you that I have a biblical foundation driving my axe against religious people. Okay? The reason I have an axe against religious people is Jesus has an axe against religious people. They're always in the way of the kingdom of God. Now, here's where I, as your pastor, am trying to caution us. If we're not careful, we'll become religious. And how many of y'all have noticed you can get religious before you know you've gotten religious? You can get legalistic before you know you've gotten legalistic. How many of y'all have ever imposed what you think on somebody versus what Jesus said? Even worse, how many of y'all have ever imposed what you think Jesus said on somebody versus what Jesus said? And how many of y'all realize that you're not supposed to be imposing anything on anybody, but you're supposed to be telling everybody about the Savior that saved your soul? That makes sense? So we got to be very careful. Our job is to tell it. Tell it and trust it. Tell it. And what? Trust it. I love Freddie. He came screaming in my office one day. Freddie was out on one of his journeys, and he came in, and he opened the door, and he said, I just want to tell you, I finally got it. I said, got what? He said, I got the whole point of it all. I said, what? He said, go ye therefore. I said, now you got it. He said, why does it take us so long to get it? I said, because preachers have been talking about it, and they don't want to go, so they make up a bunch of other stuff to make it what it's about. They've made the church about fellowship. Lord have mercy, if we talked about Jesus like we ate potlucks, we'd already be up in heaven. The world would be saved. Because we were committed to doing what? Fellowshipping. So I'm going to ask y'all to take that same kind of energy that God's given you, and let's be as committed to telling it. Now, we're not going to have a mass campaign, and I'm not going to meet you here at 6 o'clock to go knock on every door in the city of Bowling Green to tell them about Jesus. Because Jesus didn't do it that way. There are people in front of you every moment you take breath that need to hear about the Jesus that you have. And you need to do it in a multitude of ways. Now, here's what I love about our church. We're one of the weirdest churches in the United States of America. Do you all realize that? Now, this ought to tell you something. I have friends that come from California. From where? They come from California. They visit our church and they go, that's one of the most diverse places I've ever been in. California? I mean, you can drive for miles in California and never hear English. But I said, well, what do you mean you're from California? I said, in California, we put all the different people in different boxes. They said, you're the first. Y'all are like a salad. Y'all thrown it all in one bowl. And then you got to trust God to do what? Use it. Now, here's what I want to tell you. Our diversity in this church is intentional by God so that we might share with all people his great message. So at Hillview, you always got to keep this in mind. We're not called to be alike. We're called to be like Jesus. And God's going to use all of us in different ways to communicate and connect different types of people to Jesus. So just heads up, be careful about telling somebody to do it like you do it. That's like, I'll give you an example of this. People used to tell me that I had to close my eyes to pray or God wouldn't hear me. Now, here's the problem with me closing my eyes. How many of y'all are like this? My mind is constantly spinning. Y'all, I don't have to do drugs to have a spinning mind. Okay, that just came natural in my processor. I got thousands of thoughts flying through my mind at all times. So when I close my eyes, I move from 1,000 thoughts to 2,000. So I can't hear anything but all my what? But if I keep my eyes open and focus, I listen better than if I close my eyes. Now, that's just because I'm weird. But if somebody tells me I got to close my eyes to focus, guess what? I can't. That's an example of guess what? You got to ask God to show you how you tell it. Because guess what? He didn't call me to tell it through you. He told you to tell it. And so he made a way in you. So first step into prayer today, God, begin to show me how I need to tell of you in this new year. Show me. Well, he silenced the Pharisees. He silenced the Sadducees, and now the Pharisees are going to take their shot. What's the greatest? One of them, an expert in the law. I love that, don't you? An expert in what? That means he had what? I grew up in a lawyer's house. He was an expert in the law. Expert. What does that mean? Jack, in our day, dude's got his papers. Okay, he's got his credentials. He's smart. I'm not taking anything away from that, so please don't send me 500 emails that I don't support education, because I'm going to bury you on that. I do support education. I'm just telling you this. Education is not salvation. And that's where we've erred deeply. That's why we keep tumbling the world, because we think we're going to think it through, and we're supposed to be telling it forward. Telling of Christ. Expert in the law said this. He's going to test him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Now, you got 613 laws. You got a lot to choose from. So which is the greatest? Where's the bullseye? What's the essential? What drives the rest of the laws? This is a very deep question. Which is the greatest commandment of all commandments? Because he's fixing to play lawyer with him. Politics has been going on for a long time. Well, if you say this commandment, then you leave out this group of people. And if you say that commandment, then you involve this situation. And he's trying to get him twisted up. And Jesus answers this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and with all of your mind. Why would Jesus answer with that command? Shema. Teach your children to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. Here's why. None of us can do that on our own. Do you think about that? None of us can do that where?
On our own.
We can't do that on our own. How many of y'all going to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, all by yourself? Kathy, even though you're sweet and charming and loving and love all those kids God's giving you, guess what? You're going to love Kathy every once in a while more than you do the Lord, I bet, if I was betting. How many of y'all love what you got going on more than what God's got going on every once in a while? I know that's tough. It's on Sunday morning. We're supposed to fake it and say we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and body. But sometimes we love ourselves more than God. Hello? And when we love ourselves more than God, we don't tell of Him. We tell of us. That's the tension battle. But Hillview, here's the connection. We want to connect people to Jesus Christ. How many of y'all have a heart for doing that? Okay? Now listen. We've had people, they're going to leave our church occasionally. Why? I'm just going to tell you right now. I've had people tell me, say, Pastor, you talk about the cross and resurrection all the time, and I need a church that goes deeper. Now, guess what I say? See ya. Now, what they want me to do is be Dr. Phil spiritual show, which is not spiritual at all. You see, they believe that they ought to come to church so that they can feel better. That is a totally Americanized understanding of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't even get close to Scripture on that concept. That came out of our psychological dependent movement. It's only been around for about 80 years. Because we're really one of the only cultures that has enough time to sit around and gaze at our navels and figure out who we are. Everybody else is trying to eat. So they don't have a lot of analyzation. They have a lot of living. Our job is to connect people to who? To Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That they might be forgiven and risen. Make sense? So guess what? I talked to a dangerous group of people in here today. Because many of you are forgiven and what? Risen. Secondly, you are part of a community. It's our second connection point, isn't it? Part of the community. We're in this together. We tell it together. Every person is important. And in this new year, we need more of an emphasis on that. Every person is what? Important. And the third thing is this, we got to get to biblical truth. Cross is real. How many of y'all, you got to believe that? How many of y'all realize that? Some of you today are wondering, you ask the question, you're here for a new year, and I'm glad because I want to tell you the truth. If you will ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin, He'll forgive you of your sin. Now, I believe this, you're never going to get better till you get forgiven. Now, you might feel better temporarily. How many of y'all have noticed that? The best we can do in the world is give you a Band-Aid. Does a Band-Aid ever heal you? But it'll make you what? My kids, and even me as a kid, I remember when my kids were little, if they fell off their bicycle, you know, scratched their leg, apparently Snoopy Band-Aids had healing power in them. And it couldn't be just a regular Band-Aid. It had to be a what? A Snoopy Band-Aid. If you put a Snoopy Band-Aid on it, it just leaked healing power all over that leg. And that's kind of what we do in the world. We got a lot of Snoopy Band-Aids. It'll make you feel better for a minute and we think we're healed. No, the cross heals us. That's the second vision of our church. That you would be healed in the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of y'all glad that's true? Now, I just want to tell you, this may freak some of you out if you're looking for a church. I've seen people in this body of Christ be spiritually healed, emotionally healed, physically healed, healed. I'm not talking recovered. I'm talking healed. There are people here that came in with addictions and God didn't recover them. They reached down and jerked them. They never had another urge, another motion, and boom, went on in a different life. That makes everybody mad. They go, well, that can't be real because they don't sit around a group and remind themselves of where they've been. Well, it's real when you submit to who? Christ. You get around a real doctor, you'll get healed. He's a real doctor. I mean, Jesus is crazy. Jesus to turn mud into medicine. Jesus to tell you to get up and walk when the world tells you you will never walk. Jesus to tell you to go say something great on the city square when you stutter and can't even speak. I mean, God uses very ordinary people to do very extraordinary things. Y'all beginning to see that? So you see that vision of the church. C3, we're going to connect people to the cross and resurrection. You know what? We are a part of a community. We got to love one another as Jesus Christ has loved us. Love God with what? Your heart and your soul and your mind and your being and everything that God's given you. Can you imagine if we just spent a service taking care of just taking an inventory of all the things God's given this church? God's given this church and all of us together enough to really impact the world. The cross is enough, but he's even getting a lot of accessories here to get that done. Isn't that neat? So I really want to challenge you, man. We got to tell it. I know I praise God for every baptism that happens here. And last year we had a great year. And guess what? After we come off that great year, Jamie said, you got any fears? I said, yeah, I got one fear. I said, sometimes after you have a great year, guess what people will do? Guess what they'll do, Lo? They'll do it at the Church of Maine. You've had a great year too. And they'll go, oh Lord, last year was a great year. We're going to sit here and talk about the great year we had. Did Jesus ever talk about the great year he had? Did Jesus ever say, yesterday was your day of salvation? Is that what he said there, Professor? Professor Don, did he say that? What did he say? Today is the day of your what? Salvation. Not tomorrow, not yesterday. When? Today. And so today we got to be connecting people to the cross and resurrection. Today we got to continue to be community. Amen? Today. We got to hear truth that'll set us free and lead to healing. The big D, here's what we're looking for. The big D is that you will go. Let me explain discipleship. Discipleship is that you are saved, meaning this, your sin has been forgiven, your life has been redesigned, and now you're capable of being effective in the kingdom of God. You do not want to argue with me at all because you're just going to lose this argument. To tell me that discipleship is sitting around reading books. That's the weight room. I used to have a football coach, and these kids, when they started lifting weights, they'll get all excited about how much they can bench press. You know, they'll talk about how much they can bench press. And I had an old lineman coach, and Jeff Reynolds remember this. You probably had one like that, Jeff. There's a lot of these guys, they're big, and they can bench press 450 pounds, but they can't block anybody. They can't block anybody. There's a difference in going to the weight room and pushing weight like this and taking on a big old nasty looking defensive lineman that's snorting and hollering and moving and blocking him. And the game requires them not to bench press, but to block. We're kind of like that in the church. We go, well, we know the books of the Bible, and we've studied theology, and we've been to this seminar and that seminar, and I've heard this teacher and that teacher. But let me ask you a question. We haven't gone and told anybody. I really want to show you where we are in the United States of America. I don't know world, but I do know the United States of America in the evangelical Protestant church. Now, let me describe the best I can a definition to you of the evangelical Protestant church. You hear that in the news, don't you? An evangelical Christian. These are Christians that believe the Bible has authority. We believe that, don't we? So we'd fall in that category. They believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. We would fall in that. They believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, this great message that we have, 97% of the 30 million people in the United States of America that make up the evangelical church have never shared this great message with any other human being. Let me help you. You want to know why the world's going to hell? Our culture's headed to hell there quite rapidly? Us. We're the only counter to the world. We're the only other message. Bart, there's no other message. If you will, we're not going to ology our way out of this. Does that make sense? We've tried. We applied sociology to it. So we have a study now of why it's so bad. We put psychology to it. Well, now we can understand why so many people are messed up. We put theology to it. These are the doctrines that we're not practicing. But eventually, guess what you got to put to it? Go. Say, so do your hunting dogs hunt in the pen? No. They don't hunt till you what? Let them out. Timmy, will your bird dog point in the doghouse? Why? Ain't no birds in there. There's the sermon. And so if you will, I want you a little hunting metaphor here. Y'all ever seen a bird dog? What's a bird dog do? Anybody know? Come on, tell me. Some of y'all got one. Thank you, Chuck. You get an A today. See, somebody was looking for a profound intellectual statement. A bird dog hunts birds. Wonder what a duck dog does. You are right, Chuck. They hunt ducks. What do believers do? Go and tell. Is it? That's what believers do. Believers go and tell. You know why they go do that? They're believers. Believers go and tell. Observers contemplate. Believers go and tell. That's what believers do. Here's why. They're believers. And you know what my greatest fear is? Don't ever become a church member here. I could care less about having a group of people that say, well, we're good church people. Here's the problem. I've never met any good church people. All the church people I know only like themselves. Most of the church people I know could care less about anybody other than their little church group. And they don't like Jesus because he does things that they don't like him to do, like talk to people that aren't like them. But guess what, believers? They hear the message of Jesus, go ye therefore where? Everywhere to the world. This is what Jesus said. I close on this today. The words of Christ himself. And I plead with you. I'm going to plead with you. I'm going to be a little missionary Baptist today. I'm going to plead with you a little bit to follow his words. In my opinion, very important words. I don't know why we don't get this. It took me less than 40 days to get the purpose of the church. You know why? I read the Bible. And at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, after Jesus has been crucified and resurrected, he gives us the point of what to go do. Now, whether you like it or not is irrelevant. This is what we're supposed to go do. I want you to hear these words. You know, I've heard these a bunch. Yeah? Yeah? Okay, great, wonderful. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. How come I haven't seen you in the back? Ooh. Uh-oh. New mic. Mark, put that on the budget. only see you in the baptistry. Because that's a part of the message. It's a part of the message. Richard and Linda, thank you. You understand this message. You've been to New Orleans. You've been to Sandy Hook. The Lord's put you in a situation at this moment in your lifestyle where you can go and help people in disaster. Well, guess what? We all in a disaster. True or false? Here's the disaster. We're in sin. We're messed up. There's one antidote. I loved that video. We're the only people that have the medication. And let me just say what Jesus said. He gathered the disciples together. Now hold on. Help me with this. Y'all help me. If he gathered the disciples together, then he had been discipling them. Would that be correct? So Jesus spent 3 years, right, Chase, making them what? Disciples. I go consult all these churches, and here's what they tell me. Soon to be Dr. Reynolds, you've probably heard this in your studies and research. Here's what they tell me. Well, Ayers, what you don't understand is we're a discipling church. I said, it's impossible. There's no way you can be a discipling church because you haven't seen a baptism in 2 years. There's no way you have disciples here. What you have here is a literary club. And you all study the theories of an ancient text and you gather together week after week reading the text together. But you don't know any of it. Because if you knew it, you'd go. If you believed it, you'd what? You'd go. Let me tell you, Jesus, he made disciples, and here's what he told his disciples. And guess what? Donald Wofford, he hadn't changed his mind. I just want to let you all know I hadn't changed mine. And I want to thank you all tremendously. For 2 decades, you've been committed to this message. Don't slip off on the third. Pat, in any moment, we can go back to where we came from if we get disobedient. Perry, I like being in a church. I was giving a tour yesterday. We had some people visiting our church for a banquet deal, and they were all laughing because they'd come from other churches. And I didn't have a key to anything. And they were like, man, they don't give you a key or nothing, do they? I said, no, they're scared I'll lose it. And they go, why do you not have a key? I said, because that's not my responsibility. You see, they come from churches where the pastor runs the facility. You see, here at Hillview, we got great people that actually know how to run the facility. And the pastors, our job is to raise folks up, equip you all, work with you to make sure that you can go out so that we send crazy people like Jim brought us and Freddie Hampton on a wild ride to Costa Rica and 15 years later end up with the church who in the last 6 weeks has baptized 20 Costa Ricans in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's what we want to see happen. Now keep that in mind. Now hold on. It's got to happen everywhere. I want to show you what he said. As soon as I find my tablet, because I didn't want to lose it. Where is it? No, it's gone. Where is it? There we go. Boy, this octagon, it'll mess you up. I feel like I've been doing MMA preaching this morning. Look at here. Look at here. Go. They worshiped him, and then he said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Hear that? Let it seize in you, baby. Every person ought to have an opportunity to hear the gospel. Amen. Here's what I love about God. We don't have to spend a bunch of money on airplane fuel to share the gospel to everybody in Bowling Green, Kentucky. God has brought the nation's compliments of the refugee center right here to Warren County. Here's what could happen. They could meet Jesus here and maybe end up back there, and then we wouldn't have to spend millions of dollars on language training since they already know the language. See, if we just listen to God, God always does ministry cheaper than we do. Here's why. He's just glorifying himself. And when we do ministry, we have to spend several million on just glorifying us and our organization. God just goes direct, cuts the middleman out. Go. Hillview, we're going to continue to go. Amen? If you want to be a part of a church that's winning people to Christ, connecting people to Christ, showing people who Jesus is, this is your place. If hearing about the cross and resurrection bothers you, this isn't your church. And believe me, you have plenty of opportunities to go to church in this county where you'll never hear a thing about the cross and resurrection. They'll tell you how good you are and how special you are and how wonderful you are and how great you are. And that'll be fine. And if you listen to that, you'll find out where hell is. Or you can hear the gospel. There's a cross that forgives us of sin, and there's a resurrected life that's like no other life. I don't know about you all, but I live like I can't live without Jesus because of Jesus. Does that make sense? I don't get to live this life without Jesus Christ. I would not have the marriage I have. I wouldn't get to see the children I get to see. I wouldn't get to pastor the church I get to pastor if it wasn't for the cross and resurrection. We got to submit to that. Here's what Jesus said. Go forward, man. To where? All nations. So let me get that heel view style. Tell everybody. Tell everybody. You say, Pastor Harris, what about them people that are smoking that funny stuff? Tell them. What about those people that are doing it? Tell them. What about the people? Tell them. Here's our targeted audience. If you have a pulse, we want you to hear about Jesus. After you're dead, you can't hear it. So we better tell everybody while they're what? Alive. Look at here. Go ye therefore and do what? Tell them. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So please don't tell me that baptisms aren't important. Please don't tell me that's not an issue. Please don't tell me, well, in our church, our pastor really didn't think baptism were important because it's really the understanding of the interdrawing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said they were important. They're on his last words. He didn't say anything about mission offerings. But he said everything about baptisms. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So what could happen? And teaching them. Now we got to be involved in what? Teaching what I've commanded. You. Go teach them how to live it. So once I save them, all of us together got to learn how to what? Got to learn how to live with one another. And we'll talk about that in the next week. But it's stuff like this. How many of y'all have had to forgive somebody at Hillview more than once? If you've heard me preach twice, you've had to forgive me more than once. So, yeah, see, that helps you practice forgiveness. How many of you all have stayed married, not forgiving each other? You haven't stayed married. See, we've got to learn these things that Jesus teaches. And here's why. Tell me they don't come natural. Jesus' things don't come natural. But Billy, they do this. You've seen it at Church of Maine. They will come in supernatural. Billy's pastoring a church, and guess what they said about that church in that Church of Maine? Guess what they said about it, Billy? Hopeless. It's hopeless. People wouldn't come to church on Maine. It's over with. It's over with. People won't worship down in that area there. Those kind of people, what they need is another snack pack pudding and another free pack. We've been giving them snack packs and backpacks for 40 years, and none of their souls would change. Now, they were happy on snack pack day, but they were lost after the snack pack was gone. Billy Lowe said they lost, man. They need Jesus Christ. Billy down there preaching Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected in the area of our community that few people care about. And guess what God's doing? Drawing lost souls into the richness of heaven. It's that real, amen? Oh, and by the way, I want to give you the most important part. Go tell them. Go make disciples. Disciple making is a part of the commission of God. So let me help you. I got to draw up here. I'll be shorter at 9:30, 11. Why do I preach to y'all a little bit longer? If y'all go to hell, I'm going to be mad. I understand. Y'all stand there and some of y'all, I said, Lord, they in the 8 o'clock service. First of all, they've heard the gospel 1,000 times. How could they not get it? You've taught them and you've had great teachers among them. They ought to be doing it. Amen. I expect you ought to do better. Why? You're old. You ought to get better as you get older. How many of y'all are getting better when you get older? I tell Elizabeth every year, we started out New Year's Eve and I looked at her. I said, I won't tell you. I tell her this. This will give you me in a lineup. I tell her she gets better looking every year she lives with me. I'm enhancing her. She didn't believe it. See what I'm talking about? Let's love one another as Christ has loved us. But we got to. Sebastian, guess what? I have a responsibility to make you a man of God. Isn't that cool? And I'm not beyond lovingly smacking your head to make that happen. See what I'm saying? In other words, I want you to be the best. Now, I'll give us three things. We're out here. We got to start talking to other people that don't know Jesus and inviting them to a connection with Jesus. Now, we have to understand salvation. Is everybody clear? You and I can't save anybody. Has nothing to do with us. So we're offering an invitation of salvation. The Holy Spirit's got to draw someone under conviction. Does everybody understand that? I get real tore up when people do this. Well, I won somebody to the Lord. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. We got to get honest. No, we don't win. Sarge, we don't win anybody to the Lord. I presented the Lord, and the Lord drew them unto them. That's accurate, okay? We don't win anybody. The Holy Spirit wins everybody. Does that make sense? Is everybody cool with it? You got to be accurate here, okay? The Holy Spirit draws people to salvation. But Bob, guess what? Just because the Holy Spirit draws people to salvation, he tells us to open our mouths so they might what? Hear. Bible says they can't hear because they don't have a what? Preacher. So guess what? I want all y'all to preach. If any of you women say women can't preach, y'all are crazy. I don't know what all that talk was in a Southern Baptist convention. Remember a few years back, Southern Baptist people, well, I don't know if women can preach. I had this one old lady, she tapped me back when I used to go to conventions. She said, young man, do you believe women can preach? I said, I ain't met one yet that doesn't. Go tell it. Man, woman, child, follower of Jesus Christ, go what? Tell it. All right, Hillview, I'm closed. We got the first section. Hey, it's January. We're at war. Y'all in this together? We're in this together. Now, let me help you. The devil will be very ticked off if we decide together to share the gospel. And he'll start all kinds of little crazy things going on. And we got to be mature enough to get through the crazy things, okay? Y'all won't believe this, but after 12 years at Hillview, I had somebody come in my office and talk to me about hymns. Does it look like we're going to sing a lot of hymns here? Let me show you how people can get. Out of several thousand people wanting to design the music so it would satisfy them. Think about that for a minute. That's a person that doesn't understand the gospel. It's not about me. I don't like every song we sing, and Keith doesn't like every sermon I preach. Who cares? Does it bring some to Christ? Some of you like sitting in the round and some of you won't. Does it bring and help people connect to what? Christ. That's why we ruffle us up together at the first of the year to remind us of this. Somebody asked me, why do we move our seats at the first of the year? I said, so you can be uncomfortable for 4 weeks. And I meant that lovingly. Because guess what? Sometimes we forget this. Rebecca, this is not a comfortable faith. You know, I grew up in a beautiful church. It was just gorgeous, just gorgeous. The church I grew up in was gorgeous. And it had these little cushioned pews on it. I remember when we got cushions. When we was kids, we sat right there on that hard wood. And man, you wanted to get up and go to the altar just because your rear end was tired by the time sermon was over. And then I remember when we got gold cushions. That was a big deal in our church, got gold cushions. They'd about that thick. You know what? And everybody rested in. I think we need to be reminded occasionally that we're not sitting here comfortably. We're to be convicted solidly so that we might go out fervently and tell the world about Jesus. Amen? And so just, it's not comfortable. It's not comfortable. I was kind of laughing. Clacy, she's really been introduced to the medical field this week. She told her mama, she said, I about passed out. And her mama said, well, you got to go. Everybody, her mom's been in the medical field all her life. She said, everybody goes, gets the queasies at least once or twice. And then she said, yeah, it's all right the next day. We got to be uncomfortable to make a difference. Amen. Amen. We got to be what? Hillview, you still willing to be uncomfortable? You still willing to have to park wherever you got to park? You still willing to welcome new people beyond yourself? You still willing to be more concerned about those who are undone than those who are done? Are you willing to say, you know what? The church is not about how I feel about it, but it's about how God wants to make it. If you stay there, guess what? God can continue to move. Look what he says at the end of that great commission. And lo, not Billy Lo, lo, I am with you what? Always. Every once in a while I'll give you all a little Greek. The Greek means this, to the end of this era. to the end of the age or to the end of this era. The era is a more appropriate time. God says there's going to be a period of time where this great message can be preached. So, Donna, this leads us to also understand there's going to be a time where this message is no longer preached. So I want to end on this. While we can preach, we better what? We better preach. And it looks like it's still daylight right now. So let's go tell them the good news. Amen. If you've never asked Jesus Christ in your life, today you've heard it clearly. We're a church that exists so that you might hear this good news. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not a sinner. Well, I don't want to make you mad. I just want to tell you the truth. Yes, you are. In fact, today you've worshiped amongst a group of saved sinners. Here's how you know you're a sinner. Everybody's broken the Ten Commandments. That's sin. Since we sinned and we're separated from God, we need the grace of God in our lives. Now Jesus makes sense. Guess what? He died on a cross so that you could be forgiven and connected to God. How many of y'all understand that? Without that, you're not connected to God. You say, well, Pastor Steve, I really don't worry about that. I'm spiritual. Well, you'll find out. So Satan. Satan's spiritual, Harlan. He is. He's spiritual. He's not. Guess what? He's not a human. He's spiritual. But he's darkness and he's death and he's defeat and there's no life in him at all. So today, why don't you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. I want to believe in you. Now, believers, I want to talk to you today. How many of you kind of slide up? We got an octagon altar. So guess what that means? We got room for everybody. I'm kind of glad. It looks like an octagon. That's a pretty cool stage. So you know what? If we're really going to fight this world, Eleanor, if we're really going to make a difference, you know what? We ought to go to the mat. And for us, going to the mat isn't wrestling, Pete, but it's this. It's praying. And I'm going to ask you to do this. We got to start praying for people that don't know Jesus. Hello? How many of y'all know somebody that doesn't know Jesus? Okay, good. If not, I want you to come see me because I got a long list, and I'm going to give you one of mine. I'm going to give you a name. Just a first name. I want you to start praying for them. Because you know what? I believe if we pray for people, they got a greater chance of getting saved. TC, I don't care what church they get saved in. I just care that they get what? Saved. It's not about numbers, but it is about salvation. And I just don't believe, Keith, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross so that 90,000 people in our county could be undone and go to hell? Now, you know what disturbs, Rebecca, you know what disturbs me most? Most people who claim to follow Jesus Christ could care less about that. Donna and I used to think it was the church, the world had changed so much that pastors, Paulette, they just, you know, the world had just changed so much they couldn't live in this new world. And guess what I found out now? They don't care! As long as we got our little place and do our little thing, hold our little meeting, we're not going to be that church. Brooks, we got to tell everybody, you still got some buddies going to hell, don't you? Yeah, I do too. I don't want them to go there. It starts there. The old evangelist said you got to have a burden and an unction. Y'all remember that? Some of you that are a little bit older had an unction. The movement of the Holy Spirit. An unction. So, Hillview, I hope God gives you some unction. Bob, I'm glad to see your Sunday school sign. I thought we was protesting the end of time when I first saw it. I was glad to read it. I thought, Lord have mercy. Last Sunday, I walked in. I said, we got one of them end of time boys here today. And I looked up. And it was just Bob trying to get people into Bible study. I was relieved. I said, that'd be bad having to punch somebody at the end of the year. I told an end of time guy that. He got in my face one day. And I said, I want to tell you something, buddy. It's fixing to be the end of your time if you don't get out of my face. You're going to have an apocalypse. See, watch, it's a lot of us more worried about the end of time than we are giving somebody eternal time. Stay on message. Amen, Jack? Amen. Well, let's stand together. Let's come to this altar. I need you to pray for lost people today, that we'd be the church that goes into the world, shares the gospel. Come on, let's pray together. Let's pray together. Come on, if you need to be baptized today, come on, let's pray. You ain't got to wait till Keith starts singing. It's 8 o'clock. Y'all know how to come to the altar without song. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray for the lost people in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Start this year off with power, the power of prayer.